Good morning. And let's give another round of applause. And actually got completed. Yay. But also what I love so much as we're talking about technology is that we're talking about planning. And we're talking about running into problems, but fixing them. So congratulations on the good work. Just quickly, I would love to during the safety day at ACE.gov, which I'm director, we had a meeting. So many folks here are part of the team. And if the team, I'll make you stand up a little, so you know who the team is, because they can answer questions later. Go ahead, stand up. Yay! But just quickly, because I think it's more important, because technology and communications is about the conversation and knowing and engaging, so it's not one way. So let's talk about who's in the room, if that's okay, and I'll go a little bit. Yeah.
My name is Elaine Sackover, and I work at an HIV clinic in New York City, and I work with two grants to train medical providers on HIV.
And I hope it's sequestration.
We are audio changing it, and the microphones are here, so I don't know how much it'll capture unless people really project.
Yes, I understand what you said. Although the six people that may listen to this, but cool, and I'll step back. But I think it's important to know, good, because I spoke with, I'm going to talk about policy and data and how it informs how we design our web page. And one of the policy issues is funding, making sure there's funding in place.
I'm Gail Silverman. I work with all Africa countries here in the district. And we work in 5 countries in Africa presently, mainly helping with women become informed more regarding HIV/AIDS as they serve people in a variety of needs.
Terrific. And working with all of our communities, especially the great tool of our faith communities. So cool.
Hi, my name is Leah Jackson. I'm working with Christian Rescue Group to support the Community Communication Goal. I'm currently working on a project with the Community Guide and redesigning the website for more students.
Well, good. So learn from us and learn from our colleagues. Sure.
I'm Nicolette Strauss. I'm with JSI and I work in the DC office on international domestic projects.
Hi, my name is Miranda Chan. I'm an epidemiologist with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and I'm just interested in integrating technology into our
program. Which, if you want to see folks who actually do a good job of thinking and doing the planning that you've heard about before, great.
And I'm Andrea Pinder-Marquardt. I'm also an epidemiologist with the Department of Public Health of Massachusetts. And I work mainly evaluating community work, but I'm also interested in health information technology.
And for us, epidemiology is so important because still, when the numbers are evolving, but what if 5 people who are HIV positive domestically do not know they are infected? And we actually need to know who our audiences are. And HIV, the disproportionate impact among Black gay men is astounding in the United States. And we really need to make some changes. But thank you, epidemiologists, for giving us the data that we know we have as a challenge for us to change, to make it improve.
My name is Natalia, and I work in the research unit at Boston Medical Center, and we're working on studying among HIV infected substance users in Russia.
Oh, wow, cool.
Hi, I'm Mona Lubamba from New York City. I work with the Administration for Children's Services, and the UNICEF is involved with the pediatric AIDS unit. So, you know, the agencies, the foster care agencies report to us how many children are HIV exposed and which regions, you know, they come from in the...
Understanding where your folks are from and...
Yeah, where the birth mothers are from. And the rate of infection for children, you know, the babies in New York City is really, in fact, New York State has said it's considerably going down.
They're true, but still, one infection is way too many.
Yeah, and yes. What drew me to this session is because I saw this thing about South Africa. I'm South African, and I originally come from Eastern Cape.
Oh. And I bet you'll talk to her after the session.
not in Port Elizabeth, you know, where the medicine. I trained there, Livingston Hospital.
Okay.
I'm from the rural Eastern Cape where the health system is just dismal.
Mm-hmm.
worse than it was. So I need to talk to you after this.
I would have to. Right.
And what was so cool about your work was documenting, making sure that information was accessible, which is what we're all talking about when using technology.
My name is Christine Winger-Trupin. I work at Megara Medical College as a program funding and evaluator. I'm very much interested in utilization focused evaluation. How do you make information inform decisions that I make? And I'm always coming to this information sort of kind of presentations or sessions to find out what's new and what I can take with me and incorporate it in my toolbox.
Hopefully it will help, and if not, we're all willing to talk afterwards. And you should go to the next slide. But ATECA, essentially what we do domestically for the most part is provide information on basic HIV facts. What happens if you're diagnosed? What is HIV? What are the symptoms? What's amazing, we also spend, that's a third of what we do, a third is how do you use new media to extend the reach of our work and working with our colleagues to do that. And the other third is to make sure folks understand what federal policies and programs are doing and how they impact your work. And what's fascinating for us is the fact that 85% of folks who come to our webpage, but they don't care about the media, they don't care about policy. What they care about is the basic facts about AIDS. And so for us to say, using that data to stay informed and recognizing the bulk of, what the bulk of our users are coming to our page and speaking the language of our users is really important. And I know there's some more people who came in, but I'm just going to keep moving forward because President Obama is a leader in health technology, still, believe it or not, and technology as a field. And one of the things many folks don't know, President Obama last year released the Digital Government Building a 21st Century Platform for Better Serve the American People. I know he did not write that title, it would have been clear. But what it is a policy that the government must change how it operates. And that our information that we make across the board, from the State Department, from the Department of Housing and Urban Development and Health and Human Services, that we have to make our information available anytime, anywhere, on any device. And that's going to trickle down to our funders, to our academic institutions, because when program funding along the road follows federal policy. So all of our programs really need to think, how are we engaging ourselves, interfacing with our board of directors, and our clients, and our stakeholders, making sure if you get a part of that as part of the federal dime, how are you making your resources and what you produce available anytime, anyplace, anywhere? Next slide. Actually, I won't go to the next one, since but what's really important is to understand some of the technology. How many people here have used their cell phones since they've come to this workshop? Raise your hand, people.
I have one tweeted.
Good. M-I-G. But what's important is to understand that we have to make sure that the information we produce for our clients and stakeholders is clear on this device. Because look how many people are using the device in domestically. 91%. How many people, when they look up healthcare information online, believe that the information is accurate and perhaps more accurate than they went into a clinic or a private doctor's office? Do you know? I do. 61%. And that data is old, so we think it's actually higher. And people are using their whatever their platform is to find out information and make health decisions. And actually, Aisha, if you could just raise your hand. She's our communication director, and I want to just thank her for putting this presentation together. And she is also available later to talk to anyone if you have any questions. And again, what's so very important is across our communities, and HIV, communities of color are disproportionately impacted by HIV, but if you look here and you see within two of our communities of color how prominent cell phone use is. And again, wherever you are, In your clinic, do you know how many of your clients are using cell phones or other devices to find health information or information about your services? Right. And in today's world, no, Ben, okay, Ben?
Sure.
Good, I'm always watching. Is that not acceptable? You have to use the data design information you put on these devices, or it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I can show you some examples of our mistakes, too. Let's go to the next slide. Again, also understanding what folks are doing online, which is so very important. And you know, what does anyone know what get ready means, this 19%? It's folks who will depend on the device in an emergency. And we expect that to climb. Again, remember how many of you were using your phones while sitting in this room? We depend on them for information. So, I guess you have a service provider. You need to know where your clients are and what they're doing and how they're using their devices. And look, the 60%, you know what that is? So what's the 60%?
How they connect to the internet.
So think of it. People are using desktops and other, that their cell phone is such a virtual element. And the 35% I'll just tell you is really are using their phones for problem solving. But also understand that your clients and stakeholders are just like you. And they are using the phone to find things when they're bored. But if they're bored or whatever they're doing, ask them where you might be able to interface information that's important to the work you do. Can you go to the next slide? Also, how many people get ticked off if they get to their cell phone and they can't read the information? It's like, oh, you know, it's like glasses on glasses won't help. But does anyone here know what responsive design is? Do you know what responsive design is? Loud.
Design to be on your phone.
Yes. So, projection, this is speakers. What's really important is that it's seamless, that you can actually make sure that you can see the data that traditionally was on a desktop easily on other devices. And that's back to the president's federal digital government strategy, is that anytime, anyplace, anywhere. If you're still just making sure your web page, and I know this sounds so old school, is just readable there and pretty and attractive, helps no one. It has to be visual on all the devices those people you're trying to reach can use. I'm just looking back at ages. I didn't know if you wanted to say something.
Oh, I was going to say also, it's a sort of like a labor thing too, because you're only making the website once, but with the responsive design in the background, it's taking care of going to the other devices. So if like Apple comes up with an even smaller device next year, our website will still work on that device. We don't have to redo the website again. So what we were doing before was like making one for the web, making one for the phone. So every time we do a device, we have to make a new version of the website and responsive design for all of that.
And if some of this is like, oh, I know that, well, one thing we challenge you is ask your colleagues what they know that you know. Because, and also check in with your users. One of the things that was amazing, and you heard about the, you kept checking in with your folks and improving the work you were doing and trying to improve both legally, but also the product. We do usability testing, and you don't need lots of money. You can actually ask two or three of your clients to look, or two or three of your colleagues. And possibly some of you have things called friends. Use them. Ask them what they would go to your website for, how they would use it. But when we did usability testing, we found on our basics pages, which I told you 85% of the people of GovernDataSite.gov were looking at, is that we actually did a poor job with imagery. People wanted more images to describe what we were talking about, to reinforce our messages. And again, it doesn't have to, be a lot of money, but you always have to step back and really think about what you're using and doing. And we also found, do people know what infographics are? Gentlemen, you want to say, or? Aisha, tell people what infographics are.
So as you know, we're not very moved by like spreadsheets and pie charts and stuff like that. So if you can take your graphics and relate it to something visually, so if you're saying like 60% of kids eat apples, so you might want to just put like an apple with 60% on the top, and people, you don't have to write those words, but people see that, oh, apple, 60% child kind of thing. So it's a way to make it more visual and people can like remember that snapshot.
When I told you 85% of people coming to our website were not finding information digestible, think what Aisha just said with the apple, including 60% on it. Thinking in small, simple ways and checking with those who use your content, so important, because we were spending all of our time and your tax dollars, providing information a good chunk of people were not, or a good bite of people not. We're not actually digesting.
Go to the next slide. Yes.
AIDS.gov is responsible on behalf of President Obama to provide information on the National HIV/AIDS Strategy. I love saying that. But guess what? So what we put information on the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, which is our roadmap to improving the federal response to HIV, people weren't finding the information or, again, digesting it. And what they wanted was some fact sheets that were easily downloadable. We were providing this information for about a year and a half before we actually provided you what they wanted. And again, checking in and making sure when you're doing your work that you do it correctly. Can you go to the next slide? I am going a little long, so why don't we go to the next one, please? And let's go one more, because I'm just going to reinforce the point about I don't want to really share our mistakes anymore with you. but I'm really proud that we are constantly working to improve. But for all of you, the workshop you came and chose to come to and walk down that really long hallway to get to is how to use data and policy decision to decide what you're going to do. And in our niche, which is just HIV, we have to look at what are the key policy issues that I talked about before. We have to look at where are things most impacted in HIV domestically. And for us, that's Black gay men right now. And what are we doing, and what do we need to be doing differently? The other policy issue is that there's something in HIV called the continuum of care, or treatment cascade, which shows that we know a bulk of those people are HIV positive, but to get them to what we call virally suppressed, and towards what sometimes is called functional cure, only 1 in 4 individuals are at that place. And we know that policy information. We know that data. What are we using to change and make information available? First and foremost, many of my colleagues, if I ask them what the continuum of care is, they go, well, I think it means this. So we use video, we use blogging, we use Twitter, we use all of our tools available to get our target audiences informed. So very, very, very important to use what's happening. That will shape policy, but also remember I told you that how the government has a policy from the White House that we're going to change how we use emerging technology to make all of our information available anytime, any place, anywhere. And soon our grants going out in our contract will say that you too have to be doing that. It's also the right thing to do, but if you don't use the data from the person who sits next to you at work, if you work alone, those people you're serving outside your office, if you don't actually check and then change, your credibility dips some, or someone will go to some other place. And perhaps someone else is doing a better job than you and you want them to go But if you are doing a good job, you really need to look at health technology and how well you're doing it. Or you actually sometimes may not need to go to work. And I know that sounds a little dramatic, but people aren't going and digesting what you're using, you really have to challenge yourself. Thank you very, very much. Sorry I went over.